Our scripture this morning, the first one, is from Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 19. Will you pray with me, please? Teach us your way, O Lord, and lead us on a level path. Teach us, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then we will keep them to the end. Give us understanding, and we will keep your law and obey it with all our hearts. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 19. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord, your God. Serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. And our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Listen for the word of God. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
The Bible says that Jesus was tempted just as we are in every way, but he did not sin. And here we have this initial passage. It's in other Gospels as well, where Jesus is led into the desert and he is tempted. Now, the first question that I think many people have is, did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into temptation? The answer, of course, is no. When we look at the passage, it says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And there he was tested and tempted by the devil. The Spirit led Jesus into the desert. And of course, God knew that he would be tempted and tried there. But we also know from our own experiences that as we go through the trials of life, as we stand up to those difficulties and stand up to those temptations, we develop character, we develop and we grow into the people that God would have us be. So part of this testing and part of this is, what kind of ministry is Jesus going to have? This is developing him in part into how is he going to, what kind of ministry is he going to fulfill here on earth? Now, we also have to understand that as Jesus is led into the wilderness, he has just come up out of the waters of baptism. So at the baptism, what did God say from heaven? What was the voice from heaven? What did it say? This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. This, you are unique. This is my beloved, precious Son. And so when we look at the first temptation says, if you are the Son of God. Now, we have to stop and think about, how is this temptation like the temptations that we have? Again, to remind us, the Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way we are tempted. But he did not sin. Now, it would be easy for us, I think, at least for most of us, if in the time of temptation, if you knew, if you know the caricature of the devil. You know, forked tail, pitchfork, horns, right? If you saw that image and he was saying, well, now you need to do that, it's pretty easy to step away. I think it would be fairly easy to step away, right? But we know that that's not the way that evil and temptations come to us. And I don't think that that's the way he appeared before Jesus either. Stop and think about the situation. He is led into the desert, and he has spent 40 days fasting, and going with fasting, even though the Bible doesn't say it, prayer always goes along with the fasting. So he is spending his first 40 days after his baptism in fasting and prayer to prepare him for his ministry. Now, hungry? Yes, physical hunger. But at the same time, people who engage in fasting and prayer report that even though there is a physical hunger, you have a spiritual strength that comes out of that. He has spent 40 days fasting and in prayer with his Father as he is preparing for his earthly ministry. Now, what kind of temptation is this first one? The first temptation, I think, is one of doubt. And I think we all can probably identify with the whispering voices. And perhaps that's exactly how Jesus experienced it. He heard God say to him, this is my beloved Son. And yet the whispering voices say, really? Am I really his precious child? Yes, he's called me on this task. I've got this ministry ahead of me. But the whispering voices planting the doubts. And what kind of a ministry am I going to engage in? Yes, he is hungry, and the doubt says, well, maybe I'll just verify that, yes, he has empowered me to do his work here. I can just turn one stone into bread, just to kind of test God. to see, is it really true? Am I His beloved Son? Has He empowered me for this ministry? You ever want to test? Do you belong to the family of God? Do you call Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you consider yourself to be saved by Him? I know many of us in this room do. But do you ever have doubts about that? Do you ever question, am I really saved? Does He really call me His child? That's the same kind of whispering doubts that I think this first temptation gets to. Have you ever wondered or wanted to say, Lord, let me just see a miracle, or let me just experience this, then I'll know I belong in Your family. I know You have claimed me. You ever want that kind of confirmation? Nobody? I'll admit it, I have. Okay? We have those kinds of doubts. And I think that's the same kind of doubt that's being planted here. And I really wanted to have Jacob be downstairs this morning during the worship service baking us some of his homemade bread, right? But I didn't know if the smell would, you know, come all the way up from the basement up into the sanctuary where we could smell his homemade bread in here. I mean, we kind of need that for this temptation, don't we? And so the temptation is subtle. And the first thing that is required by Jesus is recognizing where these whispering voices, if that's the way it occurred, come from. That it in fact comes from the evil one. That it's, I mean, we, and our temptations, I think, usually start with our doubts, don't they? And so the doubt, am I really His chosen one? Has He really called me to do this ministry? Am I really going to be the Messiah? What kind of work does He have for me to do? He is physically hungry, but spiritually strong. And the doubts say, come and confirm that You are in fact God's chosen one, God's Son, by turning these, not just this stone, into bread. Now, the size stone that Jim brought in for the children's message, and did you see the size of the loaf that he pulled out of that stone? I mean, you don't need to make more than one of them if you've been fasting for 40 days. You know, one loaf is going to be enough, right? But the temptation is, turn these stones, plural, into bread. Now, I've not been to Israel, but I understand that some of the desert area around the Jordan River, there are just, it's just littered with stones, not like the sand dune type of desert that we sometimes expect. Turn these stones into bread. It goes beyond just His own physical hunger. He is hungry, no question about it. But He also knows that the world is hungry. There are a lot of hungry people out there. So in part, this temptation goes, what kind of Messiah, what kind of ministry are You going to have? You can feed thousands. You can feed this hungry world. Just say the word and these stones can feed. You don't have to go the way of the cross to save these people. You can save them with these stones. They'll all come flocking to You if You give them bread again. The second temptation is a little bit more bold and direct. In the first temptation, Satan is tempting Jesus in His weakness, in His hunger, His physical weakness. But the second one, he goes directly towards His strength, His spiritual strength. And notice that it's all holy, isn't it? He takes Him to the holy city. He takes Him to the temple, which is the holiest place in all of Jerusalem, all of Judea. And He quotes Him Holy Scripture. Holy, 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 right? He's going to His strength. And He's basically saying, and He quotes Scripture and says, make a spectacular show. The people, the crowds will follow You. You don't have to go the way of the cross. They will follow You without that. Just jump off and come floating down. Because, as the Scripture says, God has promised His angels would not let you be harmed. The problem is, as Satan is citing Psalm 91, and by the way, on our prayer time on Friday night, for Song and Amy. They had requested that we use two psalms that we use in our prayer. One was Psalm 91. And it talks about... Does everyone know... I probably need an English teacher here. And I may not get this right, so the English teachers have got to kind of forgive me a little bit. But a conditional clause, you first have an if statement. If this is true, then, right? But you have to pay attention to the if this is true. In Psalm 91, Satan skips the if statement. And he just says the then statement, just the conditional clause. He won't let his angels let you harm anything. But the if statement he leaves out. The if statement is, if you make the Lord as your refuge and your strength, and you dwell in God's presence, then this will happen. And he kind of skips that first part. So Satan knows Scripture, and he's able to misuse it by taking it out of its context. You knew I had to say that, right? All of you who've been here. Taking it out of its context and changing it and applying it in a different way. And both in the first temptation and this one, Jesus responds with Scripture from Deuteronomy. And then in the third temptation, he's just bold and outright. He's now revealed himself. Maybe the caricature of the forked tail and the pitchfork, etc., is all out there. And he basically says, you don't have to do it your father's way. Just one time, give up. Just this once, bow down and worship me. Just once, and all this will happen. You don't need to go the way of the cross. And once again, Jesus refutes him with Scripture from Deuteronomy. And then he says, get away from me, Satan, and Satan obeys. Did you see that? As soon as he commands him to leave, Satan leaves him. Now, it's not a coincidence that Jesus uses Scripture from Deuteronomy 6 through 8 as he's refuting Satan, as he's standing up to these temptations. We have to remember, as Jesus came through the waters of baptism in the Jordan, last week we were reminded of Israel passing through the waters of the Red Sea and also passing through the waters of the Jordan. Israel went out into the desert for 40 years. Jesus is out in the desert for 40 days. As God is, and Moses in Deuteronomy, the beginning of all of Deuteronomy, it's the last sermons that Moses gives to the nation of Israel before they entered into the promised land, and right before Moses died. And so Jesus uses this because as God, through Moses, was creating a new nation, a new people of God, the nation of Israel, Jesus now, and Matthew is going to be very specific and very particular, Jesus is now creating a new Israel, a new people of God, passing through the waters of baptism, 40 days in the desert, where Israel, for the 40 years, was tested and tried and failed repeatedly in the desert. Jesus now is tempted and tested in the desert, and he succeeds. He is setting about and starting the new people of God, the new Israel, the ones who truly will follow after God. So where do we go with this? When Satan finally says, just turn aside from God, just this once. Jesus knows the path that God has set out for him, and Satan first tries to get him just to go subtly off, just a little bit, and then finally says, just turn away from him once. We also, when we are tempted, we have been called into ministry for him. We're called to follow after our Lord and Savior, and he has set a path before us. And our temptations start in our doubt. Are we really called by him? Can't we veer off just this once? This one little deviation is not going to matter very much, will it? Anybody have those thoughts ever? Well, I can do this today, and on Sunday I can confess my sin. Every diversion we have diverts us from the path God has us to be on. And just like Jesus, we have the same thing that he relied on in order to keep us strong. And that is Scripture. Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you memorize it so you'll have it ready to support you in your times of temptation? That's what Jesus did, and he calls us to follow him. He was completely and absolutely committed to following after his Lord, after his Father. Are you? Are you completely committed to following after Jesus no matter what? He was committed to doing whatever his Father told him, even if it meant going to a cross. And he lays the same thing out before us. I don't suspect that he's going to put any of us on a cross or call any of us to go to a cross. But are you willing to be committed to his direction and guidance in your life? And not deviate at all from what he's called you to do? The way to follow him is to read your Bible, to study it, to memorize it, and to put it into action in your own life as you follow after him and resist the temptations that are before you. You have been called in baptism to be a member of his family. Just as when the voice from heaven as at Jesus' baptism said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased, my beloved Son," in baptism God has claimed you. And at this table, he feeds you. We have these reminders. We are part of his family. We don't need to put him to the test and have any special revelations for us or miracles to confirm. We are a part of his family. So I invite you this morning, come to this table. All who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, come to this table and eat in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Amen.